Thank you so much. Once again, it's great to be with you guys. So let's continue our series on the halachas of Nisis Kapayim, Birchas Kohanim. We discussed a little bit the first week about Birchas Kohanim in Chutz Laaretz every single day versus not. We discussed a little bit about how a zar, how a non-kohen, could give a bracha, a father to the child, using the psukim of Birchas Kohanim. And this week I want to discuss whether or not it's appropriate or inappropriate, halachically, hashkafically, to wish a yasher koach to the Kohanim. You know, seemingly nothing should be wrong with saying yasher koach and thank you to the Kohanim, but there happens to be a very interesting discussion in halacha. So let's go through some of the sources. Let me just turn off the, hold on, the sound. I said mute everyone. Okay, thank you. So now I'm, there we go. I'm back and unmuted. So let's go through the sources and see what halacha has to say about wishing a yasher koach to the Kohanim. So take a look at number one here in the share screen. The Mechaber talks about the following. At what point does the Kohen need to come down? Does he need to descend from the bima, from the platform on which he's saying the Birchas Kohanim? So Shulchan Aruch says, very simple, that Eina Kohanim Rashayin lahachzir pneim, ad sheyaschil shleach tzibor sim shalom. We know the Kohanim are facing the tzibor, the hands are out, panim keneged panim, and they're not allowed to turn back around facing the Aron until the chazan gets to the words sim shalom. When the chazan says sim shalom, the Kohanim are allowed to turn around to face the Aron, and their job is over. Einam rashayim, says the Mechaber, they're not allowed to lokuf etzbosem ad sheyachzir pneim. They also can't put their fingers down, close their fingers until they've turned around from the tzibur. Va'omdim sham, they stand on top of the platform. Ve'enim rashayim lakor misham, they can't leave the platform ad sheyisayim shleach tzibur sim shalom. So now, just to get the everything clear, when the Kohanim turn back around to face the Aron, when sim shalom begins. When could they come down from the platform, from the area they're standing? When sim shalom is complete, they could come down. Now the Mechaber says further, "V'yesh mi she'omer she'tzrichen lahamtin ad she'yisaymu atzibur la'anos amen." They shouldn't only wait for the chazan to finish sim shalom, but they should also wait for the tzibur to answer amen achar birchas sim shalom. That's the practice. So after the final shalom, v'rechas amo yisrael ba'shalom, you hear amen, then the Kohanim could come down from the front platform. The Mishabrua points out, I should also add that some poskim say when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, when there are additional tekios shofar at that point, the practice is wait till after all the tekios are blown. So the Shavua says, the reason why they have to wait until the tzibur says amen is because kodem amen, before they answer amen, adayin lo nistayim habracha. The bracha isn't complete. You know what completes a bracha? When the kila responds amen, now the bracha is over. Now you could step down. But it's not appropriate for them to start walking down while the bracha is being recited. So they wait for the bracha, they wait for the amen, and then they come down. Now the Mishabur adds further. The achshav, reading just the bold now. Nowadays, she'aminag lomer lakohanim b'yiridasam minaduchim. The practice is to say to the Kohanim as they descend from the front platform, yasher, Yasher, Yasher Koach, Yasher Kocha, Shkoyach, Chazaku Baruch, whatever way you want to say it. If you're a Sephardi, Ashkenazi, you say some type of Yasher Koach to them. So says the Mishabura, Mehanachon, it's appropriate. Shelo Yardu HaKohanim Meaduchen, at that point, since the practice is to wish a Yasher Koach, the Kohanim should not come down from the Duchen, from the platform, Ad La'achar Sheyisayim HaShleach Tzibur Kaddish. Wait until the Chazan finishes all of Kaddish, not just Sim Shalom, but all of Kaddish afterwards. Kedei shlo yisbatlu akohanim va'am me'anias amen yishmeraba v'shar amenim. Our days at Kimoshi Matzah. What's going to happen is they're going to come down, you say Shkoyach, Shkoyach, Chazak Baruch, Yashikach, and you're going to miss out all the amens on this Kaddish, you're going to miss yishmeraba. Wait till Kaddish is over, and then one should descend when they get to Ein Kelkenu or whatever they say after the Kaddish. So we see, very innocently, the Mishnah Berurah points out, the minog is to wish a yasher koach to the Kohanim. The Aruch HaShulchan echoes this, he says clearly in number 3, V'chein ha-minog, that's the practice, V'nogu lomar la-Kohanim, yasher kochacham, and the practice is to wish him yasher koach, and in response, The Kohanim say, V'hei meshivim, they respond back to the Tzibur, Baruch Tia, or Bruchim to you, that you should also be blessed. Very nice dialogue, very nice give and take. Yashar Koach, and you should be blessed. So what's the reason that we wish him a Yashar Koach? So the Matta Ephraim, one of the Achronim, points out in number 4, I don't have it in front of you, I couldn't find it on the Bar Ilan, but the Matta Ephraim, what he says is, it's like saying thank you. You just got an incredible bracha. The Kohanim gave the most powerful bracha that one can imagine. The Torah tells us to get blessed, and we got blessed, so we say thank you so much. It's about common decency, common, you know, just manners, how a person speaks. We always try to train our children, our grandchildren, and ourselves to say the proper things. How to say please, how to say thank you, how to say you're welcome. So it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful minhag that both the Mishaberuah and our Chashulchan allude to. They allude to. They say it's such a beautiful thing. Just say thank you. It's a wonderful thing, and we should be encouraged to do so. I want to go through a number of sources how we see the importance of just basic mitos of greeting people and saying please and thank you. So a little bit of a side point, but just to show you, it's not just stam and the idea of Yashar Koach. There's a big inner. This might have to relate to mitos. Because one of the big brachas, the final word, the final pasuk of Birchas Kohanim is shalom. So we're trying to create shalom. So by engaging in conversation, engaging in Yashar Koach, that's a great way of creating shalom. So take a look at number 5. The number 5, the Mishnah Maseches Gittin, Daf Samech Aleph Amud Aleph. It goes through a number of halachas that we do something, there's certain takanas, certain halachas we do simply because of Darchei Shalom. Simply to create, to generate, to foster peace. So one of the things listed there is V'sho'olim b'shloman, we ask of their peace, we say Shalom, and Rashi says we should greet a goy, we should greet a nachri, Mipnei Darchei Shalom. Imagine you're walking in the street and you see your friend, you say hello, you say good Shabbos, and you ignore the non-Jew walking by. That's not a nice thing. That's not correct. And even though the word Shalom is one of Hashem's name, and to bestow Hashem's name onto a goy would be inappropriate, nonetheless, the Mishnah says, because of Darchei Shalom, it's worthwhile saying Shalom to a Nachri. So even not saying shalom, even just saying good morning, good afternoon, is of utmost importance of showing proper midos. I assume when you go to the shul, I'm not sure if you're back in shul yet, but there might be a security guard. I know in our shul we have security guards. We always say good morning, good afternoon, good evening. It's so important to just, we're not talking about getting married or being best friends with them. We're showing just about the importance of saying hello, to greet someone in a very nice way. The Mishnah in Avos number 6. Rabbi Masya ben Charash Omer have a makdim b'shalom kol adam. He would always be the first person to say hello. Imagine he goes in the street, he's walking in the mall, in the marketplace, outside, wherever he's going, he's saying, hi everyone, hi here, hi there. And Rabbi Bartanura says, afilu l'nachri, even to non-Jew. So he's busy just walking through the streets and saying, good Shabbos, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, how are you doing? Just a full of simcha. B'sever panim yafos. You know, there's a beautiful Me'iri. One of the halachas or ideas, the midos, that we learn in Mishnah, the Pirkei Avos, is having mekabel es kol adam b'sever panim yafos. That you have to receive, you have to greet every single person b'sever panim yafos. What does the word b'sever mean? I understand b'sever panim yafos. Panim yafos is a nice face, smile, show some teeth, put your lips up. But what's b'sever? So the Me'iri says that we're not always so happy to see every single person that we encounter. It might be a person we may not get along with. It might be a person who we don't like. But the Me'iri says we have to think of a svara. B'sever is a lashon of a svara. We have to think of something, something that's special about this person. We have to convince ourselves to even greet such an individual who may not be our best friend, b'sever panim yafos. And so Rav Masi was so makbid, he was always the first one. He was always makdim shalom to somebody else. This is just basic midos. Basic midos. Furthermore, the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, Amru Alav number 7, Amru Alav al Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, it was said about the great Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Shelo Hakdimu Adam Shalom Me'olam, he too No one ever beat him in saying hello first. He was always the first to greet someone, afilu nachri b'shuk. Even a non-Jew, a stranger walking in the shuk. What do you do when you walk down the streets in Boca Raton? Do you guys, and you see a non-Jew walking by, you see the mailman, do you say hello? Do you say good morning? You see a person walking the dog outside who's not Jewish, do you say hello? If it's a Yid, I assume you do. If it's a non-Jew, you should also say good morning. That's Yochanan Zakkai. That's what he lived his life by. And if you take a look, so this is not just about greeting people. There are many, many instances about how a person has to have basic midos. So a big yasher koach, saying thank you to someone, thank you for a gift, thank you for a bracha, and also about saying hello and good morning. But there's another idea. I think we have basic midos. I think it's part of the American culture and the Jewish culture as well. An interesting gemara tucked away in the end of Maseches Brachos, Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. There, if you take a look at number 8, the Gemara is talking about the bracha of Borei Me'orei Ha'esh. We know Matzah Shabbos, when we say Abdallah, we say the bracha of Borei Me'orei Ha'esh. So the Gemara records an interesting machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, Tanu Rabbanan. The Braisa teaches us, Hayu Yoshvin VeBeis HaMedrash, VeAviu Or Lefneim. Let's say people are sitting in the Beis Medrash and they're learning, and it's time for Havdalah, and they bring a candle on which to recite Borei Me'orei Ha'esh. What should you do? Beis Shammai Omrim, each individual should pause and say Baruch Hatashem Elkein Ma'achalam Borei Me'orei Ha'esh, and then give it to the next guy. Beis Hillel Omrim Echad Mevarech Lekulam. You have a guy get up and clap on the bima, get complete silence, and you say one bracha on behalf of the entire tzibur learning there. Why? Mishum Shenemar Berov Am Hajis Melech. The greatest way to perform a mitzvah is the greatest population. The larger the amount of people davening together, doing a mitzvah together, it's a hiddur. That's why there's a big inyan by Megillas Esther to lane to come to a shul where there's a large population, Berov Am, Hajis Melech, everyone doing a mitzvah together. So therefore, Beis Hillel says, clap in the bima and one bracha for the entire tzibur, Berov Am, Hajis Melech. So Beis Hillel makes a lot of sense why you have one blessed for everybody else. So Bishma, the Gemara says, this all makes sense. Beis Hillel, Mefarshei time, he explains his reasoning because of Berov Am, Beis Shammai my time. Why did Beis Shammai say that each individual should say a separate bracha? So the Gemara explains, Kesavri Mipnei Bita Beis Medrash. To clap in the bima and have the tzibur stop learning for, I don't know, 15, 20 seconds, that's Bita Beis Medrash. Better for everyone to learn, and the one saying the bracha for himself, he stops for a few seconds, pass it to the next guy. But this way, overall, instead of 30 people learning, you have 29 people learning at any given second. You don't want to stop the whole Beis Medrash. It's a bit the Beis Medrash. Each person says their own bracha privately, so there's constant learning. There's a learning b'rtzifus, a continuation of the learning from beginning to end. So now the Gemara says, Tanya, Nami Hachi, the Braisa says the same idea, that we're very concerned of bit the Beis Medrash, because Shal Beis Rabbi Gamliel, in the house of Rabbi Gamliel, or the Beis Medrash, or Rabbi Gamliel, they had a custom, a tradition, Lohayu Omrim Merape Bebeis Medrash. They would not say a gezuntart. They would not say, they wouldn't say God bless you. They wouldn't say to gezunt. Whatever you say for when a person sneezes, whatever your Yiddish, Hebrew, English you want to say, labriut. They wouldn't say this in the Beis Medrash. Mipnei bitul Beis Medrash. If you're giving a shir and everyone's learning and you stop to say, oh, gezuntart, you stop to say labriut, you stop to say God bless you, everyone stops, that's going to be a bitul Beis Medrash. So they're very, very makbid. What comes out from this halacha, however, is on the Beis Medrash, you don't say gezuntai. You don't wish a God bless you. But outside the Beis Medrash, you should. It's a basic understanding of midos. Now, there's a certain bracha. We want to make sure everyone's healthy, that they're not sick because they're sneezing. But it's also about basic midos. It's basic midos to greet a person in the morning, to greet a person in the afternoon. It's basic midos to wish a person a gezuntai when he sneezes, even though the guy's not sick. He smelled some pepper and he had a little sneeze. He's not sick. We still wish a person a gezuntheit and a labriot and a God bless you. So too, it's basic midos to say thank you to a person when he gives you a bracha. So it makes total sense why when the Kohanim come down for the duchen, we say yasher koach, chazak baruch, shkoyach, whatever, how you want to say. So why would there even be a shaila that you shouldn't wish a yasher koach to the Kohanim? So I'll explain to you why there might be a shaila. Look at number 9 here, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chav Ches, Amud Beis teaches us. Minayin l'kohen, She'olul duchen. How do we know that when a kohen goes up to the duchen, to the platform, to give it the birchas kohanim, shlo yomar, he shouldn't say, well, hol v'nit li Torah rishus, since the Torah, since Hashem empowered me to give levarach es Yisrael, I'm a kohen, I have a koach bracha in my hands, well, osif bracha achas mishali. Let me add another bracha onto the already known brachas of Yivarech Hashem v'shmerecha v'chule. Let me add another bracha, such as the Gemara says, kigon, b'Hashem elkei avosecham yosef aleichem. Let Hashem shower you with more bracha, with parnasa, and atzlacha, and refuah, and health, and everything. Tamid lomar, lo sosifu al hadavar. Do not add on, it's a violation of baltosif. Adding on another bracha would be Baal Tosif. So what happens is, as Aruch HaShulchan says, what's the exchange? I say, Shkoyach to the Kohen, and he says, Baruch Tihiyah, you should be blessed. Well, wait a second. Isn't that an extra bracha? Isn't that an extra bracha on the Birchas Kohanim? Birchas Kohanim is only three brachas. And now you're adding a fourth bracha of Baruch Tihiyah? That would seem to be a problem. Isn't that a violation of Baal Tosif, as implied from the Gemara here, in Rosh Hashanah? Now, moreover, there's another question about Tosif, forgetting the Shkoyach in general. I'm not sure if there's any Kohanim here, but if anyone knows what the Kohen does after the Kohen turns around, right, the Chazan starts Sim Shalom, and the Kohanim turn around. So the Gemara tells us, they say another bracha. If you look at number 10, the Gemara in Sota, Daf Lamed Tes Amun Aleph, the Gemara says, V'chima hader ape mitzibura, my amr, when the Kohanim turn their face away from the Tzibur, what do they say? Adabir Rav Chista Rav Ukva V'darish. He says, you know what they say? Ribono Shel Olam. They say a bracha. Asinu Masha Gzarta Aleinu. Please give us what you decreed upon us. Asay Manu Masha Yiftachtanu. Do for us what you promised us. Hashkifu Mimon Kadshach Minashmaim. Look at us from above. And goes on to say a very nice bracha. That's what the Gemara says the Kohanim say when they turn around. And it's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch as well. It's brought down in all the Siddurim, the Machzorim, that the Kohanim say this extra bracha of Ribono Shel Olam. Well, isn't that also a problem? Isn't that a problem of Baal Tosif? Right? Why is that allowed? So we have two questions about Tosif here. Number one is, when you say Shkoyach to the Kohen, he's saying Baruch Tiyah. That's one Baal Tosif. Number two is when he says the bracha of Ribono Shel Olam, which the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch prescribe to, that's also Baal Tosif. How is that going to be allowed? Now this was a question, not that I asked, this was a question that Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, he raised this question and wanted to know whether this is appropriate practice or not an appropriate practice. So let's take a look at inside together the Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank in his tshuva. You look here, it's found in Or Chaim, Chelek Aleph, Simen, Samach Beis. So he has a whole discussion, quotes all these sources, and he says, you know how we could explain at least the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch about the Ribono Shel Olam, that little bracha that Kohanim say? So the truth is, Baal Tosif is only when you do the bracha in the context, in the Zman, as a continuation of the initial mitzvah, the initial bracha. I mean, if I sit in the sukkah today, you know, I'm not violating any Yisr. Today it's Chav Dal Cheshvan. If I sit in the sukkah, there's no Baal Tosif here. Baal Tosif is only if I sit in the sukkah on Shmi Atzeres, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, let's say, or Simchas Torah in Chutzar. It's because that's close to the proximity of Sukkot, and adding on an extra day, that's Baal Tosif. But to sit in it a month later in Cheshvan, that's not Baal Tosif. So Baal Tosif is only when you're still in the midst of the mitzvah. You're still performing the mitzvah. So Tzvi Pesach Frank points out that if you read just the bold, it's very meduyak. The Gemara says that the Kohanim would turn around, they'd be mahadir ape, turn their face away from the tzibur. It sounds like only once they turn away are they then allowed to say the bracha of Ribono Shel Olam. Why? Because the moment they turn away, that's being mafsik. It's ending the bracha Birchas Kohanim. It's now a new chapter. It's a new bracha. It's not considered an extension. It's not considered a hosafa in addition to the Birchas Kohanim, and therefore not a Baal Tosif. So that's why it's allowed to say the bracha of Ribono Shel Olam, like the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch says. However, the Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank was not so convinced that this would explain why you're allowed to say the Baruch Tihiyah. Because when you turn back around facing the tzibur, when you're coming down the stairs, everyone starts wishing you baruch tia, or rather yashkach, and you say baruch tia to each person, that you're facing the tzibur, maybe that would be considered a continuation of the bracha, since you're facing them, it's panim keneged panim. So what would justify saying yashkach to the kohanim if they're going to respond baruch tia? So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank makes another suggestion. There are a number of details that have to be in place to fulfill the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim. One of them is panim keneged panim, that you have to face the Kohanim, must face the Tzibur. And the Noda Behuda says that if the Kohanim are not facing the Tzibur, you have not fulfilled the obligation, you have not fulfilled the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim. It must be panim keneged panim. So this explains why when the Kohanim turn around facing the Aron, they could go ahead and say the bracha of Ribono Shel Olam. But when they face back around and they come down the stairs, it would be a problem. But the Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank writes as follows. Just like Panim Keneged Panim is a necessary component of Birchas Kohanim, he says by extension it would make sense that also all the other details, such as lifting the hands up, separating the fingers, all of those details are also essential to the bracha of Birchas Kohanim. So when the Kohanim come down from the platform and they're face-to-face, panim keneged panim, they're not lifting their hands up. There's no nesias kapayim. There's no separating of the fingers. And for that reason, says Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, that would be another reason as to why it would be allowed. Because since you're missing an essential component of the mitzvah, it can't be bal tosef. Right? If I'm, let's say, sitting in a sukkah, and Shmi Atzeres, but the Pasul Sukkah, that's not bal tosef. Bal tosef is only if you fulfill the mitzvah the proper way, but you're adding on to the existing mitzvah. So here as well, the bracha birchas kohanim would only be a bal tosef if I, face panim keneged panim, I put my hands out and say the extra bracha, that would be bal tosef. But if I'm missing either panim keneged panim, I'm not face to face, or there's no nesias kapayim, that would not be a violation of bal tosef. That's how Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank explains the heter of saying baruch tia. Now, that being said, however, he does point out a ber halacha. There is a ber halacha that says the requirement of panim keneged panim, the requirement of nesias kapayim, all those details is only true according to one of the Rishonim, the Rajba. But if you look at the Rambam, when the Rambam talks about Baal Tosef, and the Baal Tosef as it relates to Birchas Kohanim, he does not mention you need panim keneged panim. He does not mention that you need nesias kapayim. If a person adds, if a kohen adds his own bracha on Birchas Kohanim, he has violated Baal Tosef, even without panim keneged panim, even without nesias kapayim. So in the Rambam Shita, how can we justify the bracha of Ribono Shel Olam, and how can we justify the Yashikoach, which is going to then create a response of Baruch Tehi? So what Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, he finished off, he says, I just left this, oh boy. So what Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank explains is as follows. He says, the truth is, when the Kohanim say Ribono Shel Olam, that's not really a bracha. That's a tefillah. We have to distinguish between a tefillah and a bracha. When it comes to a bracha, that's a problem. But to daven, that our tefillah should be answered, that's okay. You could say all the tefillahs as you want. That's not a bracha. But as it relates to the bracha baruch tia, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says that's really a problem. He thinks it's a real big problem, and he concludes his tshuva saying, Taka, a person should not say yashakach to the kohanim, lest it gets the kohen to respond back Baruch Tia. That's his conclusion. In the end of the day, it's a very, very common practice. Rabbi Shapta just said before, in Torah Shraga, he's makbid after every day of Birchas Kohanim. He goes over to every single Kohen and wishes them a Yashikoach. Seemingly, it's to show that Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank was not the accepted practice. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank thought it was incorrect to do so, but the common practice is to wish a Yashikoach. Now, should the Kohen? Now, I'm not a Kohen. But maybe the Kohen, in deference to the Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, maybe he shouldn't say Baruch Tia. I could say Yashkach, but maybe you shouldn't say Baruch Tia. From what I've observed, the custom is that even the Kohen does wish a Baruch Tia back to the Tzibur who says it. And that's because he's not intending, there's no Kavanah about Tosef. It's just, you should be blessed, but there's already a separation. He already comes down from the tzibor. His hands aren't up, and therefore it's not really a violation of Baal Tosef. And therefore it would be seem to be the common practice is accepted to wish Yasher Koach. It's a nice thing to show your appreciation. I want to finish off with just the last 4 minutes we have together, just to add something of Kohanim to this week's Parsha. We've been talking a lot about Kohanim, and we know the Yontif of Kohanim is the Yontif of Chanukah. Chanukah is the Chashmonaim, and there are a lot of connections. Maybe we'll speak more about this as we get closer to Chanukah, but the Chashmonaim or Kohanim, the Pasuk says, Kosavarchu in Parshas Naso, that the Torah has charged the Kohanim to give the bracha of Birchas Kohanim. Ko is Chaf Hei spelled, Kosavarchu. So we know Kislev, it's Chaf Hei Kislev, is when Chanukah falls out. So there's a lot to say about the letters Chaf Hei and Kohanim. The word Kohen itself is composed of Chaf Hei, is for the Kohen. So there's a lot of connections. How does it relate to this week's Parsha? So we know we're going to be Bench Rosh Chodesh this coming Shabbos, the Chodesh of Kislev. And B'nai Saschar says that the Or of Ner Chanukah does not only begin on Chaf Hei Kislev. It actually already begins on Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Rosh Chodesh Kislev is the beginning. Because Kislev, says the B'nai Saschar, stands for Kas Lev. Lamed Vav refers to the Lamed Vav, the 36 candles we light on Chanukah. So Kislev is the hidden candles. The idea of Kislev is to try to expose, to try to reveal the hidden candles, the hidden light, it's in Kislev. But Moshe Wolfson says it doesn't only start on Rosh Chodesh Kislev, it actually starts on the Shabbos Mevarchim of Rosh Chodesh Kislev, which is this coming Shabbos. Now, even though this Shabbos is still Cheshvan, but already you have the taste of Kislev on this coming Shabbos. So we read Parshas Chayisara, this coming Shabbos. So where is their connection to Chanukah in Parshas Chayisara? So there are a few connections. I have time, there's a deep connection, but on the surface, the Medrash tells us as follows. That when Ephron, when he viewed Maaseh Machpelah, that area, it was a very dark place, the Medrash says. It was dark, it was murky, it was gloomy, it was morbid. He didn't care for it. But the Medrash says that when Avraham Avinu was chasing the par, he wanted to shecht the par and to serve the Malachim in last week's Parsha. And the par was running away. And as he was chasing the par, he stumbled upon Ras Machpelah. And he said, wait a second, what is this place? He saw an incredible ore. He smelled an incredible reyach, a beautiful aroma. And Avraham Avinu realized that he was at the entrance to Gan Eden there. So although it was dark from the outside, Avraham was able to uncover the hidden light, the Or Gan, as the Medrash says. It was there in Gan Eden. It was packed away in Gan Eden. And therefore, it was a hint, says Rav Moshe Wolfson, to the revealing of the Or Ganez of Chanukah. Already this week's Parsha of Parshas Chayisara, where he found Maaseh Machpelah, even though it was a cemetery, it was a graveyard, but there was an incredible light, the Or Ganez of Gan Eden. And the truth is, Rav Wolfson says, it starts Parshas Chayisara, this week's Parsha, the Or Chanukah, and goes all the way until the end of Vayechi. In Vayechi, when Yaakov Avinu is buried in Maaseh Machpelah, the last person to be buried in Maaseh Machpelah, that's when the Or Chanukah closes off, from Chayisara all the way to Parshas Vayechi. And the B'nai Saschar has a cheshbon. He writes that although Yaakov Avinu was nifter on the first day of Sukkot, as the Gemara Rosh Hashanah teaches us, but he was mourned for 70 days. The Pasuk says in Vayechi, he cried for 70 days, and when you calculate from the first day of Sukkot, 70 days later, that falls out on Chaf Hei Kislev. So Yaakov was buried and sealed in Maras Machpelah. He closed off that light on Chanukah. So ready from this week's Parsha, Chayisara, all the way to Vayechi, we are ready in the Kedusha, the Or HaGanuz of Neres Chanukah. So we should be Zocha as we continue to struggle through this Gullus. We should continue to struggle through the Choshech and the darkness and the times of Safek. We should be zochah to see that Or HaGanuz is revealed to the world with the coming Mashiach, with the Gula Shem and Ba'amitas, Meher V'Yameinu, Amen V'Amen.